It's Arnold Bjorn with Warm Welcome, a show about passionate people and how hospitality plays a part in what they do. I use an iPad for pretty much everything from editing and recording this podcast to staying on top of news and current trends. The one app that I use actually that's helpful for me at least is Flipboard. Flipboard curates the world's stories so you can be smarter in your work, life, and play. You can choose from thousands of topics to personalize your Flipboard and get the latest stories from the best publishers and experts delivered to you 24/7. Now, when you see these stories, you can just tap the plus button to add them to a private or public collection, and it's very simple. And you can get started now at flipboard.com. I first came across Standart Magazine at Drew Pro Shop in New York City. And I remember I sat there, picked up the book off the shelf, and finished it in one sitting, cover to cover. Previously to this magazine, I had never seen anything like it before. You know, I've never heard of a magazine solely dedicated to the craft of coffee and also to the people that are behind the coffee chain, whether that's the farmer, the importer, the roaster, or even the barista, which is the person that we see as customers on a day-to-day basis. And the magazine was very appealing to me personally because at the time when I picked it up was when I was just getting into coffee. So I think the magazine does a great job of capturing a wide audience in the specialty coffee spectrum, whether you're just getting started like I was back then, or, you know, you're at a level where you are grinding your own coffee at home. You have a pour over set up with a kettle and you're particularly about the origin. You already have your ride or die roasters that you always go to. And this is also the time when I had a club at NYU called the Coffee Club. And I had reached out to the founder and the editor-in-chief, Mikhail, because I was just really fascinated by the magazine, to ask him more questions about it, to say I was a fan. And, you know, we've stayed in touch since then online. And so when we recorded this episode, I actually it was the first time we ever met in person. We got lunch together and we became very fast friends. And it was as if we've known each other a very, very long time. I'm really excited to have Mikhail on this episode. We talk a lot about, obviously, specialty coffee, what the term means. I think the term is so loosely defined and you hear it left and right. So we're going to talk and dive a little bit into what that actually means. You know, how Standart Magazine came to be and how it's been so successful. And, you know, in a day and age where print doesn't last long, or, you know, things are so fleeting, he's created a sustainable business. And so Mikhail shares a little bit of advice and tips for people that are getting started, as well as diving into hospitality in the spectrum of cafes and coffee culture.
I was born in a small town in Slovakia. It's called Nitra, about 80,000 people. I was born close to a river. Spent all my childhood in that town. Went to elementary school, high school, and it was great because the town is very, like, from the urban perspective, is great for living because it's very green. The infrastructure is like well developed, and as a kid I had many friends there. The school was just walking distance from my house, so I didn't need to like take a bus or a commute for so long. And yeah, so I was there till my 18 or 17. Wow. And then I moved out.
Your entire childhood pretty much?
Pretty much most of it.
And then when you were 17 18, I'm assuming you went to college. And what did you study in college?
The name of the program was called European Studies and Regional Development. The university was based in Nitra, so when I was 18, I started to go to the college and the university. I got to spend some more time in town, but I had a lot of like exchange programs. We have this thing in Europe called Erasmus, where you can spend semesters at different universities and some other programs. So I got to spend some time in Austria, close to Vienna, and in Czech Republic.
How was that like for you? I mean, growing up in a small town of 80,000, I can't even, 80,000 is a small number for me because I grew up in, you know, LA, Korea, like where millions of people, but to growing up from a small town like that to now, you know, doing these semesters abroad in different countries, like, how was that experience for you?
I mean, it was strange from the beginning because when you're from a small town, you basically know everybody.
Yeah.
And it's very casual. You have a lot of strong relationships. And yeah. In general, like in Central Europe, we tend to have strong relationships with the family, and mm-hmm. most of my family lived in the town or in close proximity to it. When I moved out, at first it was like very big change of the environment, but still I was still in Europe, so it was just a different country. But like you needed no visa, no passport to go across the border, so
right.
whenever I wanted, I could just come back for a weekend.
Nice.
So.
Did you have was there the most memorable city that you really liked and resonated with you in your semesters abroad?
It was probably Prague, because I got to spend a year at a university in Prague. Then I decided to move to Prague a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So I have a flat in Prague, so for most of the year I'm there. Mm-hmm. But whenever I can, I just travel for coffee events, or now I moved to Mexico for half a year. So my headquarters is in Prague, because I just fell in love with the city. We'll see for how long.
I kind of want to tie this in, because in my bag actually is issue number 3.
Oh, wow.
With it's kind of crazy how this connects, but he's on the
cool.
cover of issue 3.
Yep.
Let's talk about the magazine too, because it's first of all, it's a beautiful product, and I've always been a fan since issue 1. But I would love to hear more about the backstory, because as someone that kind of grew up in LA and in the States, you know, you pick up this product and it's beautiful, but I think the backstory is something that we don't get to hear often. So mm-hmm. how did you turn this passion that you have for coffee into this magazine, and what made you do that, and why was it that you decided to start this?
First of all, I really appreciate that you've been our fan since we started. Like, we've known each other from Instagram
for a while.
We just met in person like today for the first time, which is quite funny. To me, I was from an entrepreneurial family, so my parents, they have a small business in Nitra. So I always aspired to do something similar, like to have my own thing and to start my own project. So I started with some events. I did the TEDx conferences in Slovakia, and so I was really into events. I was into like doing my own project, and it was about the same time, like when I was doing these TEDx events, that I discovered. I went to this coffee shop in Prague, and I discovered how coffee can be delicious and how the community is cool. I fell in love with the idea of doing some kind of projects for the coffee industry. So I knew that I wanted to contribute something, but I don't know what it should be. At that time, I was, I think, 18. I had no budget to start a roastery or, like, of course.
Right.
I had no investors. I also knew that I don't want to be a barista, because there were so many people around that were much better.
Highly skilled, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, why should I do it? Like, they're already so good. Like, mm-hmm. I would need to get practice for years just to catch up. So I wanted to find my way into the industry and to bring something valuable. And it was about the same time I was discovering the world of long-form journalism. So I started to read Monocle, and I was a big fan of The New Yorker, The Atlantic, and like really well-established and well-put-together publications, especially print publications. And I just missed this kind of a magazine, and like in the specialty coffee industry that would have been executed or produced with the same specialty standards as the coffee is roasted or prepared. A lot of the publications I saw were mainly targeted to industry people. So for the community of coffee geeks and people that work in the industry. And I wanted to help the same people like myself that are not really professionals in coffee, but they could start liking it because of the taste, because of the nice coffee shops and so on. So I wanted to do a publication that would essentially showcase the beauty of the specialty coffee community and the beauty of the specialty coffee movement in a very approachable and accessible way.
Yeah.
So that's when Standard was born.
So the title says on the magazine cover, it says Standard, and it says Standing for the Art of Coffee. Can you go a little bit into the name itself and the origins of that?
There is a number of stories behind that. So one of them is I was sitting in a bar drinking a Negroni, and I knew that, Jesus, we have to have a name. So I just put something together on paper, and it made sense. There was a domain available, so I liked that. In the same time, like there is more background, because I like the name, I like the word standard, because what I wanted to do is to basically standardize the quality of coffee that we should be drinking. Or I wanted to show that drinking good cup of coffee is not rocket science. Like, you don't need to be bearded and have tattoos and be cool and hip and young to drink specialty coffee. Like, that specialty coffee to me at that time was something like fresh carrots. Like, it's obvious. Like, when I want to eat carrots, I won't buy 2-year-old carrots that are laying on a shelf, on a retail shelf in a store. I want to buy something fresh, something locally sourced. To me, like, this kind of vegetable or fruit was a standard. So specialty coffee was the same thing. So it was, I wanted to show people that drinking good coffee should become a standard thing to do. So that was one part of the name. One of the other reasons was that at that time, I mean, at the time when my parents were about my age, there was this coffee blend very famous in Central Europe. It was called Standard Coffee Blend. It was totally random, Robusta.
Yeah.
I'll send you a sample. It's disgusting. But everyone knew the brand. Everyone knew the name.
Right.
It was called Standard. So I just wanted to follow up on that history with just a changing of one letter at the end. So
it's funny, because that latter part came, though, after you had decided on the name, right? It wasn't like, oh, yeah, like there's this
coffee. Yeah.
It just somehow kind of came together.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the term specialty coffee, I know, is a very passionate topic that you and I kind of talked about off air too. But for people that are listening that maybe not are aware of what specialty coffee is or means, like, what is specialty coffee?
Basically, there is this association called Specialty Coffee Association, which role is to provide education and knowledge, and to work with baristas, with people that want to be involved in the coffee community. And it was, I think, in the 1970s when the term specialty coffee was first publicly used. And it's basically, the term specialty means that the coffee, the green beans that are on a farm, need to achieve a certain amount of points in order to be considered as specialty grade. It's essentially a label for, like, high quality coffee. The term specialty coffee has some pros and some cons. Like, one of which is that there is no legal boundary around it. So basically, if you roast whatever coffee you have around and you put specialty coffee in your bag, well, no one will sue you, because there is no legal background behind the term, at least to my knowledge. Basically, what Specialty Coffee and the Specialty Coffee Association promotes is the transparency in the supply chain. The sustainability of production, of sourcing of the coffee, of processing the coffee, roasting, preparing, and so on.
Yeah. In terms of your magazine, and obviously specialty coffee plays a big part of what the magazine's about, but I think it's really interesting how you break it down into different sections in the magazine. So do you mind kind of sharing the breakdown of a magazine when you first open it, the different sections, and how you organize the content?
One of the main ideas of the content structure of Standard was to somehow showcase all parts of a coffee shop on paper. Mm. Like, when you walk into a specialty coffee bar, you see the machines, so you see the machinery, you have the barista, you have the beans on the retail shelves, you have the guests drinking coffee, baristas preparing the coffee on pour overs, you have music playing in the background, so every coffee shop has these different aspects. And with the magazine, I wanted to cover all of these aspects in roughly the same amount of focus. That's why, like, there are some parts dedicated to these coffee geeks related to machines and manufacturing. machinery. There are some parts dedicated to brewing techniques, to we do interviews with interesting guests, not people with coffee backgrounds, but people that drink coffee and like to hang out in shops. I think the key word is probably balance. Like, we don't want to be too geeky, too professional, but in the same time, not too abstract.
Just speak on issue 3 alone, because that's the one I've been reading recently, is like, just between those, the cover to cover, you cover so much ground. You know, you talk about obviously the cover page interview with Coffee Collective, but also Seoul is in there. Mm-hmm. Seattle is in there, which is like a beautiful illustration of a map of Seattle and different shops that you can check out. But I think that's really cool that you can get so much out of this one magazine. And I think also this is something I was talking about with my guest that I had in that last week, Caroline, who is the owner of CW Pencil Enterprise. It's a small store on the Lower East Side in New York, and she sells pencils.
Okay.
But it's a pencil is a very nostalgic item.
Yeah.
In a way, a magazine is also very much like a nostalgic, old school item. Like anything in print, really, there's such a feel about it, right? So was that something that also kind of played to your passion of starting something like that? Was it also perhaps like a sense of nostalgia? So you wanted something in print to kind of go, like flip through. Was that part of?
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just sick and tired of looking into screen the whole day, because when I'm working, I'm behind my computer the whole time. I have my smartphone next to it with all the notifications, all the likes, all the comments, all the emails. So whenever I'm reading something, I love to stick to print. That's why I love traveling by plane, because there is no Wi-Fi. Well, unfortunately, there is now, but I still try to disconnect for the whole time. I would love to just take out a book or a New York Times and just to have this feeling that I'm holding something in my hands, and I'm just the way how you consume the content and the stories to me is very different from the digital environment.
Yeah.
I just, what's the biological or psychological background, but the perception is completely different to me.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons why
you wanted a print.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of hospitality, because I think hospitality kind of ties into a lot what you do, perhaps, like, do you also think about how the reader would feel when they pick up the magazine? I'm sure you went through a lot of samples as well for the paper material. Like, could you tell us a little bit about, like, the early challenges of starting a magazine?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the term hospitality, I find one of the most important aspects. Well, not just of my business and work, but like for the coffee community in general. But yeah, this experience, like the experience of a visiting coffee shop or an experience of going to a fine dining restaurant, plays a very important role in creating like memorable moments in people's lives. And I wanted to create a similar kind of experience with reading standard, and it starts with receiving the magazine in your mailbox. So we do have subscriptions, so when people subscribe, we always get a small bag of specialty coffee in the package, and the envelope is nice, so when you see it in the mailbox, like, you know what's in it. Like, the envelope is nice, the magazine's there with the bag of coffee that's like nicely designed. So the experience starts with like you physically opening something and interacting something with your hands. And then when you open the publication, the way how the articles go off to each other, it all has a certain flow. I think flow would be a good keyword here, is that it's not really about the articles themselves, but also about the order in which they are ordered, and the whole experience of you just flipping through, reading bits here, bits there. But the overall structure, the overall composition is the most important.
I mean, issue 14 is nothing to laugh at. I mean, that is really impressive, right? In this time where, as much as we both maybe like something that's in print on paper, like from a business standpoint and business perspective, in the digital age that we live in, where things are so accessible online and so accessible on Instagram and social media. Yep. It's really cool that you've come all still this far and still publishing these issues. From 1 to 14, like, how has your journey been like, and what did you kind of learn mm-hmm. along the way?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about staying in business and staying in industry for a longer period of time. And that's the difficult part. Like, to start a startup or to start a project, that's relatively easy. Like, today, you can set up a website in an hour. You just create an Instagram profile. You do Snapchat. You can do all these digital things that get you started. You can look for VCs, some angel investors, and you can set up your own company within a couple of weeks. But then making the cash register clink at the end of the month and having all the bills paid and running a business that can grow and sustain, that's not easy, like, for a long time. And still, like, I'm young and the company is very small, and we started just 4 or 5 years ago, so we still have a long way to go. But I knew from the beginning that in order for us to sustain in business, like, the business model, like, we need to put as much effort and focus into creating a structure of the business model as we were putting into creating a structure of content. And print, even though, like, many people say that today is everything digital and everyone reads on tablet and smartphones and e-readers, still, as we spoke before, like, the perception of reading something in print, it plays an important role in people's lives. And in terms of a business model, I saw it much easier, or like, for me, accessible to monetize a print publication than a digital one, because we could base the sales of the publication on the sales of the copy itself. We knew that we could place it in coffee shops, because it's related to coffee, but it's not something that the coffee shops have, because they have bags, they have accessories, but not really, like, nice coffee magazines. So I saw much more opportunities for the monetization of the product when it's printed than it's digital. And then we can follow up on print with some online project, like audio articles or some videos, but still, like, the print publication is the core.
Yeah. How did you, the other kind of question then comes into mind is the fact that, you know, you started this in Europe.
Yep.
Right. And how were you able to push your product into the US now, Tokyo now, Russia? Like, how did you put in marketing dollars into this? Was it more of like an organic reach? Like, how did you go about marketing the magazine?
Yeah. Well, there were no marketing dollars at the beginning. I mean, somehow the coffee community, mainly the specialty coffee community, is culturally different, like, in every part of the world, but in the same time, the specialty coffee people, the baristas, roasters, farmers, they share so many values, and they share so many visions and thoughts that even though I was from a small country in Europe, I had many things in common with other coffee enthusiasts in the US or with coffee enthusiasts in Japan. Even though we didn't speak the same language, yeah, and we couldn't understand each other, we still appreciated the similar philosophy, a similar product. So I knew that this community is a good community to be a part of. So what we did at the beginning I had this idea to connect with the people that have a certain credibility in the industry, because I knew that when we were starting, like, no one has no idea who we are, and, well, no one couldn't care less, because we were, like, another coffee magazine. But I knew that when we get endorsements from the people that are in the industry for a while and have built a certain reputation, that reputation will, at least to a certain extent, we'll get that reputation, that good reputation as well. So yeah. When we started with the launch party at a famous roaster in Berlin,
right,
when that roaster invited all the media, all the, like, members of the community in town, Then a few weeks after that, we did an event in London in Profer Coffee, the institution for specialty coffee in London, that attracted a lot of other coffee people in town, and they just told themselves that, hey, like when these guys do an event with the Barn in Berlin or Profrog in London, it probably means that they're good, because otherwise those people would not be working with them. So even though like we printed the first couple copies and had no experience and none whatsoever, just the pure fact that we collaborated with these people helped us a lot.
Yeah. Collaboration seems to be a big word and a theme for your magazine, but kind of tying into that, if I had to ask you what hospitality meant to you, and if you could define it, how would you define hospitality?
To me, is what creates an experience of visiting a cafe, if we talk about hospitality in coffee. And as I'm in the industry for like the more and more I'm involved in the industry, the more and more I realize that we share the same, like we are in the same business with cocktail bars, with restaurants, with hotels. I mean, we serve people tasty beverages, delicious food. We treat them well. We get paid for it. I mean, the products can be different. The sourcing of the products are different. The venues, the establishments, the endeavors are different. But essentially, like we are all in the same business, and that's hospitality.
Yeah.
And we have so much more to learn from each other.
Yeah, because the product you're selling essentially is a magazine. It's pages that kind of, like you said, are systematically ordered in a way that ebbs and flows. But you're not just selling a magazine, you're selling an experience, right, between those two cover to cover.
Yeah, so to me, just as visiting a good coffee shop, I like to feel a certain like personal approach or like personal feeling when I'm visiting a cafe. So it has a soul. I know it sounds like very cliche, but I like to do the same thing with the magazine, that when people read it, even though we have different writers for different articles, like they have very similar tone, and there's something that connects them. So when people are flipping through the magazine, they feel the voice of Standard somehow. So that was the thing that I wanted us to achieve, and yeah, hopefully we do that.
Yeah. What if you could also then define like the voice or the kind of like imagery or the branding that you're trying to put forth? What would that be, like the voice of Standard?
So it's something between being like funky and fun about coffee, because, I mean, so many people consider specialty coffee being too serious.
Yeah.
And
maybe too like geeky or scientific.
Yeah, and that's intimidating. That can scare people off. The drinkers, the people that pay for the drinks, and that's dangerous. And on the other hand, you have these like good-looking, fun hipster people that have their internal jokes about coffee. So we wanted to be something in between, that to put a certain like quality standards to the written communication. So we work with established writers. So the quality of the writing has to be on a very high level, and the tone is like professional. But in the same time, we try to avoid too industry-specific terms and geekery language.
Yeah.
So it's more approachable to everyone. So something in between.
Yeah. So do you see yourself playing a role in being kind of this middle person that's maybe bridging the gap between a consumer and the retail store, in terms of like you are helping articulate what coffee is and making that a little bit more accessible and approachable for people?
This is great. Thank you. This is exactly what we are trying to achieve.
Yeah.
So basically the idea is that when a person that has never been to a specialty coffee store walks in and they want to understand like what's this all about?
It's a lot to take in.
It's a lot to take in. So the barista just should hand them a reading copy of Standard. Like, just flip through this, see the stories of baristas, see the, like, thoughts and farmers, see the, like, the aspects, like, the beautiful aspects of our community, and you'll understand. Because, like, of course, when you're a busy coffee shop, especially here in New York, like, the interaction between the barista and the customer is seconds. Like, there is no time to explain anything, and it's all in a hurry, in a rush.
Yeah.
So, exactly. We want to be the bridge between the professional audience and the guests, the normal people. Like, yeah.
Passion. A lot of the people that I have on the show are very passionate about what they do. And mm-hmm. obviously you are very passionate about the magazine. You're very passionate about coffee and the culture. Mm-hmm. Why are you so passionate about what you do? And what keeps you going and putting on all these issues?
To me, what I'm passionate about is not really, to be honest, like, not really coffee as a product. Maybe not even, like, Standard as a magazine. Like, what I feel passionate about is building a beautiful product, building a team, and creating opportunities for the team to do interesting things.
Mm.
So I'm more passionate about the business or about doing things in general. And if we would need to move from coffee to, I don't know, like natural wine or to any other similar community, I would be okay with that. Or if we would need to connect, like, these different parts of the hospitality industry, I would be totally okay with that, because what I'm passionate about is mainly the team and the way how we do things and the way how we approach problems, the way how we work. So that I consider my passion, the work itself.
Yeah, is working with people and creating a product together.
Yep.
If you could tell anyone that's listening that wants to start their own thing or even has, like, the slightest itch to do so, like, what advice or tip would you give them?
First of all, I don't like giving advices because I feel myself being way too young and too inexperienced for that. But what I would say is to think first about the people around you and think about if someone in your area is not doing something similar or aspire of doing something similar, and if you can't join that team or that product. As we spoke before, like, starting things is exciting. Getting awards, exciting. So the beginnings and the ends are very cool, but it's the part in the middle, which is 98% of the time you spend in your project. Which is the most difficult and also the most important. So a lot of people start things, they whether can't continue or won't continue because suddenly they realize that they need to do things that are not that exciting, like accounting and paying the bills and wearing many hats. But you don't need to, like, start your own thing. Like, if you are passionate about something, like, join a team that has similar aspirations and focus on what you can do. Like, you don't need to be the owner. Like, you don't have to have your own startup, because, like, that's cool today, like, to live in Bay Area and to have a startup. Like, you don't need to have it. Like, you can be a part of a great team. You can contribute in any way you want, but you don't need to have your own thing.
Mm.
So I would, like, my advice would be to first look for opportunities around you that you can join, then, like, jumping into the water and just starting your own thing because of the ego or something.
Yeah, I think that's honestly the most realistic and pragmatic advice that anyone on the show has shared. And a lot of the people that have been on the show are around our age group, right, from mm-hmm. early 20s to, like, early 30s, a lot of the creators and starters. And I think what you're saying is really true, especially in the day and age where we want to brag about what we do and try to put on a facade. Oh, yeah. It's so easy to, like, start something as well, to your point, and you're like, yeah, I'm starting this, I'm a founder of this. But at the end of the day, it's not about that. And if it's about that, then you're probably in it for the wrong reason, right? For anyone that wants to follow along, maybe even wants to subscribe to the magazine, where is the best way to find you and follow your work?
Mm-hmm. So you can follow us on Instagram at Standard Mag. Or look up the subscription at standardmag.com. And you should find Standard in many of the best coffee shops around the world. So you can subscribe online, or you can buy it in a good bookstore or a cafe.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Yeah, happy to be here.
As we close out here, I just wanted to say thank you to Mikhail for meeting me on such short notice. I hope you had a great time in New York City. Thank you to Betterworks Studios for always lending us this beautiful studio space. Just want to share that next week I wanted to dive a little bit deeper into coffee, because it's definitely a personal passion of mine. We'll be sitting down with Paolo, who is the founder of Regalia Coffee. And Regalia Coffee is definitely pushing boundaries in this coffee world. So I'm very excited to have him next Wednesday. And just a couple of updates on the podcast itself, too. I've started to demonetize these podcasts, so you'll no longer hear the Flipboard ad that's just randomly placed in the audio experience. So that's starting with this episode. You won't have any ads. And then second, on Instagram, and Instagram is really the social media platform I've been using to push out the podcast a little bit. I'm definitely going to be more active there in terms of just posting on more daily or weekly or more consistently, whatever that may look like. But just wanted to share that, and that you can follow this podcast on Instagram to keep up to date. The handle is @withwarmwelcome, no spaces, very straightforward. Thanks again. We'll see you next week.